What's up, everyone? This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlingsMedia.com, Pandora, Facebook, YouTube, X, Facebook, pretty much any outlet you can find your podcast is where you can find Buzzer Beaters. And if this is your first time listening to us, shame on you. You should be listening to us. Anyway, we're on episode number 29 right now. And if you haven't seen us before, we are a podcast dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. We'll go ahead and dibble and dabble in the NCAA tournament or NCAA men's at times. And we'll also dibble and dabble in WNBA. But WNBA is over right now, so it's pretty much focused on the NBA right now. Our intent is to go an hour each show. No more than that usually, but lately we have been going over about 15 minutes over. This is the holiday week, and our intent usually is to be live, but unfortunately, we can't go live this week just because we had a pretty crowded day with other podcasts, and the producer can do all the live things, and this is not our normal day, so we normally do it on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific, but we're intending to do this every Wednesday from here on out after this week, because this is the Thanksgiving holiday week here in the United States. And for those of you here in the United States, I'm wishing you a happy upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. Please spend the time with your family and friends. They're everything to us, right? Like I said in the last podcast, they're our legacy, and you definitely want to spend that time. And I know, Tuan, this is your favorite time of the year.
Holiday.
Because of the football and all the food, right? So,
sports. Food and family. Yeah.
And I'm actually
gotta buy gifts. And you don't gotta
Have to buy any gifts, man. You don't have to spend money on food, man. Yes. But I'm actually taking tomorrow and Wednesday off. Of course, Thursday and Friday are off already for work. But I'm actually driving down to Southern California to go meet up with my kid who's finishing up her finals for at LMU. And then we're flying out on Wednesday morning out to Austin, which is where we're gonna spend our Thanksgiving in Austin with my brother-in-law Ed. So we're going to stay there until Sunday and come back on Monday, and then we'll reconvene doing these things on Wednesday. How about you, Tuan? What you doing, man?
Yeah, so I'm taking Wednesday off. I get the distinct privilege of having to rearrange our house so I can accommodate both mine and my better half's family.
Oh, are they coming over to stay over? Are they staying over?
No, but I gotta be able to see. People do Thanksgiving differently.
Yeah.
Some people do it kind of buffet, eat around, walk around the house. We've traditionally liked tables. So we like to have tables. Everyone sits. Everyone eats at once.
Yeah.
So every we do Thanksgiving every year, and every year I got to move these couches around. I got these sectional couches that I can move around the house, and so I'll have to rearrange that, bring in the bigger table, and find seating for about 15 to 16 people. So
now is Sienna coming up?
Yes, Sienna's coming up.
Right, so my
oldest lives in LA, so she's actually she's due here tomorrow. So hopefully the weather will allow. The flights, because for those that don't know, at least in Northern California, we've been inundated with rain. And we're wussies. We don't like the cold, and we don't know how to handle the rain, because we don't get either very often. So when it does rain, the world stops. But so as long as the planes can take off and land, then she'll be here tomorrow.
So let me ask you something, man. Is it a traditional Thanksgiving meal, or do you guys change it up with, because, we're multicultural. We have multicultural families, right?
We do most of the traditional stuff. I don't know. This is a weird one. So in Christmas and in Thanksgiving, we do panetón for dessert.
Oh,
so I believe that's a Peruvian custom. Okay. So panetón is actually an Italian cake.
Yeah, I know what it is. It's very good, man.
So we usually have panetón with some Mexican chocolate, Abuelita or Ibarra. Everyone in our house prefers Ibarra.
Me too. That's what I grew up on, man.
So everyone will have that. That's kind of our one little tradition, my mom would make the stuffing and all of that. My mom's no longer with us. So that's stuff we got to piecemeal together on our own. But yeah. But typically, we'll have stuffing, we'll have turkey, we'll have mashed potatoes.
Yep.
We always have rice, which,
rice, interesting.
Always have rice. I mean, rice is like a staple in our house.
Now, is it garlic rice or regular rice?
Yeah, it's my mom's rice, which is like a garlic onion mix. I mean, everyone.
Oh, yeah. No, I've had it before, bro. I remember your mom's rice, dude. I used to eat up all kinds of food at your house, man.
Yeah, so when I grew up, quick little side story. when I grew up, you know, we never went out to eat really. And, you know, I'd always have my mom's rice, and my mom's rice is like, you could just eat it, just the rice. I mean, you don't even really need anything else with it. You just gobble it all up, but you know, it's white. It doesn't look like some people think Spanish rice where it's yellow or no, it's just white rice, but it tastes, it has flavor to it.
Yeah.
So I'm dating this girl, like, you know, and I go over to her house. She's Chinese and they serve rice, and I go, oh, rice. And I'm stocking it up, dude. I was like 18, 17 years old, maybe 17 or 16. I'd never had like steamed rice. Like never.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Never. And so I take a bite of the rice and I'm like, holy crap, these people don't know how to make rice. Like in my head, this, you know?
Land, dude. What the
in
hell?
In my head, I'm like, what's going on here? And of course, I was taught, you know, you sit down, you get food, you eat your food, no complaints, no nothing. So I'm sitting there trucking through this bland white rice. I go home and I'm like, Mom, they don't know how to make rice. It tasted horrible. And then of course, after I ask around, people are like, dude, that's how they eat it. That's how, you know, that's steamed rice. That's how most people eat rice. And I'm like, well, I didn't know. I didn't know.
That's funny, man. But that's interesting, man. That's an interesting side. So you do mashed potatoes, you do rice.
Yes.
And then you do stuffing and what else, man?
Yeah, we'll do stuffing. We don't usually do cranberry. I know cranberry is a thing. It was never.
I'm not a big thing. I'm not a big on it either.
We'll usually do like corn. Somebody usually brings like candied yams. My sister-in-law usually brings candied yams. We'll have like some salad and, you know, and some dinner rolls. And that's typically what we have. You know, if somebody wants a little something here and there, like, you know, one of my brothers usually brings stuffed mushrooms. You know, with bacon this year for an appetizer, my wife's doing fondue. So we'll have a little bit of fondue there to start with and stuff like that. But the staples are always kind of turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, rice, corn, and that kind of from that. How about you? What do you guys usually have?
Real quick, before I go on to me. So Norm and Ken, are they coming over too?
Yes, Norm and Ken.
Oh, they're coming over too.
Right, my on, dad's man. Coming
and,
by.
And their families, Gales. Man. Right on.
Gail's stuff, mother and Gail's brother's coming by. Oh, so, dude, you know, we'll have a pretty loaded house.
Woo, man,
I mean, you know, my brother's got two kids. So, you know, they'll all be trucking over. Yeah, it's fun. And like I said, it's my favorite because you got, you know, I'm not, for those that know me, I'm not very good in the kitchen. But Thanksgiving is one of the times where I put on my sous chef hat and, you know, I'll peel potatoes and I'll mush potatoes. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm the lowly, you know, kind of command me, whatever you need me to do. And if I'm not doing anything, then I'll start doing the dishes and, you know, running the dishwasher.
Right.
Things are kind of cycling through as we go, you know, but that's usually, that's the one time of year I try to get involved. That and Christmas when we make tamales. Every Christmas we have my mom's recipe, we make tamales and, you know, and I'll get involved there as well.
Wait, so your mom made are they the Peru? Do Peruvians make tamales?
You know, no, Peruvians, no. My mom would make tamales. They're not like Naca tamales.
It's Central American, right? I mean, she's
Costa Rican, but they're not like Nicaragüense tamales. They're, you know, I don't really, I mean, I guess they're more like from the Mexican side of tamales. They're similar, you know, we do the, so we do the banana leaf, not the corn husk.
Yeah, so that's Salvadoran as well as Guatemalans.
Central American style,
Yeah, Hondurans, I think, do it too.
But you know, what's great about what I get to do it now is I get to leave out the olives and the raisins.
Yeah, I don't like all that
shit. Yeah, I kind of like that stuff. I just put the good stuff, little extra meat, some garbanzo beans, a little scoop of rice, you know, and you're just kind of, all right, I'm cool. This is good.
So with respect to ours, we do a traditional one. When my mom was cooking, she made turkey the Salvadorian way, which is there's like a sauce, and it's like a thick brown sauce, and it was really, really good because usually,
but not a gravy, a sauce,
kind of a gravy, a sauce. It's kind of like a gravy, but it's different. It's not gravy. It's kind of something different. Yep. And she made it a couple variants. She would put like an Asian twist with sometimes, and it you know, usually turkey is very dry, bro.
Yeah,
but when she made it, it wasn't. It was very juicy because of the sauce that you put on it. And we typically, you know, the normal, the mashed potatoes, we do the green beans too. And then, you know, now that my mom's not here, just like yours, you know, we're now going to more traditional, but some of the sides that we usually pick, dude, I love Brussels sprouts, bro. I love them. And that's one of the ones that we choose because my brother-in-law, Mike, he's vegetarian. So he eats Brussels sprouts like they're going out of style, man. Okay. And I love them. And we do spinach sometimes too.
So when you do the Brussels sprouts, you put them in the oven. You put a little like like oil on there, some olive oil.
Yeah. Boom, just like that. For sure. Like a little glaze. I like them a little bit more like crispy. I don't like them too soggy.
Yep. Gail does those. I don't know if those are on the menu this year, but we'll have some vegetable. We'll have green beans or Brussels sprouts or something. I just don't
know. Love them, man. And then, you know, we also do some of the cornbread sometimes. You know, my wife's into the cranberry. I'm not into it, man. So I don't like it. And then as far as pies, bro. Okay. I'm one of these ones that loves pecan pies, man. I love pecan pie, man. It's one of my favorites. And then, of course, you have to have the pumpkin, too. Sometimes I like the berry pies, too, if they're available. But usually those are not traditional, right? But after we're done with this meal, dude, we're like 10 pounds heavier, dude.
Next week's a very popular week
to start
working
out.
Turkey sandwiches the next day.
Oh, dude, you're just turkeyed out, bro. You know, you're just done.
Yeah. So. You know, one thing we did, I mean, we still do the whole turkey. But, you know, in our house, a lot of people like the white meat.
Yep.
And so we always get a smaller boneless turkey breast.
Yep.
It's a small one. It looks like a miniature turkey. It's probably like, you know, 2 pounds.
Right.
And just cook that as well. And so if anybody wants extra breast meat or whatever, then there it is.
See, I don't like the breast meat, bro. I'm all about the dark meat, dude.
I'm gonna save it and give it all to you then.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it, man. All right, bro.
So how does this work?
Yeah.
I know, for those that don't know, I know. You typically eat one time a day. It's part of your kind of your diet regimen. So what do you do for Thanksgiving? You don't eat till dinner time?
Yeah, like today, dude, I didn't eat until 5:30 today.
So you're training yourself right now.
I just eat when I'm hungry now, bro. Honestly, that's when I eat. And sometimes I'm hungry like in the middle of the day. But like today, I went to go get, you know, my wife's into Star. I call it Star Crooks. I don't call it Starbucks. I call it Star Crooks. Okay.
Yeah.
Because she has her fix. She needs to have her chai tea latte, you know, almost every day.
Her and right? Gail must be so Gail's her matcha.
So I got
matcha
myself,
tea, not, you know, Gail's.
Yeah, yeah. She gets something, right? So I got, you know, this like I don't know what it is, a pecan crunch latte thing. And that's anytime you have like coffee or tea, it stumps your hunger a little bit. And that's what I had in the middle of the day, which is why I didn't eat anything until 5. But anyway, to answer your question, I eat when I'm hungry. So, you know, when we're going to Austin, it's going to be 2 hours ahead. So I'm probably going to be hungrier, you know, earlier than usual. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hold out, bro. I'm going to hold out because, you know, I just did blood work, you know, and all my blood work was great. My doctor was like, Jesus, man, all your numbers are great. You know? So I'm like, dude, it's 1 meal a day, man. That's what I do. So,
that's awesome. I was telling Gail the one thing, you know, because I for a while I had switched to eating, you know, what do you call it? Intermittent fasting, I think.
That's what I do. That's
an intermittent fasting. I switched and it kind of messed with me a little bit. But the one thing that I got
a lot to get used to.
Yeah. The thing I got out of it now is I can go much like when I was younger, if I was a little hungry, I'd get hangry and I couldn't function. And I'm like, I'm hungry. I need to eat. Now I can go 2 or 3 hours with hunger. Like, it's okay. I'll eat later. It's exactly it, man.
And with the one thing that intermittent fasting, dude, I've been doing it since like 2015, I'd say, like 9 years.
Yeah.
But religiously, I would say the last 2 years where I'm really only doing 1 meal a day, whereas before I probably do 2. But dude, my body tells me when I'm hungry, whereas before I would eat because it's the time of day to eat. You know,
that's why
a lot of us get overweight is because, you know, we're eating when we, you know, it's lunchtime. Look, we got to eat and you're not even hungry.
Absolutely.
So now I eat when I'm hungry. So that's why.
Yeah. The one thing I can't shake, Eddie, is the snacking. You know, I'll still.
Yeah.
You know, you always make fun of me. I like my glass of milk. You know, I always have my little glass of milk. And it's like a cookie or something. And I'm always like poking it. And that I will eat hungry or not. I need my glass of milk. I need my.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the one I can't shake, bro.
That's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
The first time I saw you doing it, I was teasing you so much about that.
I'm like, where you going, Tuana? I'm going to the store. For what? I'm going to get some milk. You're like, why?
Yeah, exactly. That's hilarious. Think 30 minutes. Where's the grocery store? I need to get some milk.
I need milk. I need my milk.
Dude, you're hilarious, man.
Dude,
bro. Dude, we spent a good 15 minutes talking about personal stuff, but that's okay, man. That's how we'll like, you know,
right.
The audience
gets
to know
who
we are, right?
We're
it's Thanksgiving
thanks.
Week, man. We want to kind of keep it a little loose. But we definitely, you know, it's been essentially 3 full days of basketball since we last had our last podcast, right? So really, there's not much to cover as far as, you know, content over the Eastern and Western Conference as far as what's shifted and changed since then.
Correct.
There's only been one play-in game last Friday, and we're going to talk about the NBA Cup game, and we're going to talk about that at a later segment. But what we're planning to do today is to talk about, you know, some of the teams that are struggling, right? And then we're going to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to talk to Twan and ask his opinion. We're all going to discuss, are some of these teams going to recover, or is this more of the same what we're going to see moving forward? You know, do we see any deals potentially kind of emerging because of these teams struggling early on? I picked like four teams in the East, five teams in the West, the ones that are pretty obvious. So we'll go ahead and delve into that. And then the second segment, we're going to go through. Twan wanted to kind of go over some of the major injuries, right, that have happened. And because this has been an injury-plagued early NBA season. And we've only been 2 months into it, right? A little bit over 2 months. And there's been a lot of injuries that have impacted teams significantly, especially one in particular being the 76ers, right?
Yes.
So that's one of the teams we're going to talk about. And then the third item that we're going to talk about is, of course, the NBA Cup. Kind of go over the standings, where everybody stands. You know, Twan and I have picked, you know, teams from each of the different groups. We have a wild card. We're going to kind of go see how we're doing on that. And then the final segment is something that we've been doing every week since we've been, you know, kind of did this.
The rookie watch.
Yeah. We have this rookie contest where we each drafted five players total on each team, and four players were from the first round, and then the one player from the second round. And then I'm keeping track of all their points from a fantasy perspective. So,
yeah,
you know, points are points, assists, rebounds, all that stuff. And then we have this conference seedings contest where I give award points based on how, you know, the conferences are seeded by the teams, right? And then, you know, I put a point system to that. So we're going to go ahead and give an update on how we're doing on that. But that one's been shifting quite a bit, man.
So Eddie, something just hit me. I think what would be cool,
because
I don't know if this translates to everyone out there, but I'm getting a kick out of our rookie watch.
Okay.
And I'm having fun with it, right?
It's like, fun, man. Yeah.
Well, because there's so many ups and downs. There's
For so sure.
many unknowns. And, you know, I think maybe in one of the future shows, we should sit down and you should walk us through how you calculate the scoring.
Yeah.
Right. Like just I know we have it written down as a legend, but you know where you go, what you do, because what I'm thinking is, you know, this is kind of a little idea you could have. You know, you have fantasy leagues and you have all this, but if it's just one or two people, you rarely have an opportunity to do a fantasy type of setup.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe if you have like maybe two or three of you, you could set up like your own little rookie watch competition.
Yeah.
And you can kind of sign it up and keep scores and do kind of a little fun. And you know, it requires a little more effort than knowing who the stars are. You know, you gotta, like we said, you gotta calculate, will they get playing time? Do you think that, you know, he's playing behind a star that tends to get hurt? So this person will come in and actually play. You know, are they skilled? You know, that type of thing. And you know, you can do the same format or you can do your own format. I like that we pick four first rounders and then one second rounder, because it creates a little bit of excitement to me.
Yeah, for sure. And this was all your idea, bro. So I thought that was cool, man. And the thing is that, you know, the point system is a regular fantasy basketball point system, but I can definitely walk through it on maybe on the next show. Our next show is going to be Wednesday, the 4th of December, where we're going to do it live again. Maybe we can kind of have a segment where I kind of just show how I calculate it. And one of the things that when I go to basketball games with people, like whether it be my cousin or friend, I will do that. You know, I'll say, hey, you and I, let's pick a player. I'll pick somebody, you know, I'll pick a player from the Warriors. I'll pick another player from the other team. And then you do the same thing. And we're going to compete against each other on their stats and see who does better. All right, and whoever wins gets a beer after you know.
There you go.
Oh, okay, and it gets them all into it, right? So, I'll do it, right?
Yeah,
so, but look at the monster that this freaking fantasy sports thing created with me, bro. I mean, I'm all about competition, and I always want to.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and, you know, hilarious. You've been doing fantasy for a long time. I'm about 6 years in now. You know, I started much
I taught you all my secrets, bro, and you're gonna be next to be in my league, man. And
But it completely changed the way I watch football.
It's funny, isn't it, Trip?
Changed the way you know you value people and things. It's just a trip.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally. Yeah. Well, hey, bro, let's get into it, man. So, all right. So, you know, of the teams that are struggling early in the season, I wanted to kind of point out some of the ones that are pretty obvious and kind of wanted to gauge, you know, get your perspective as to whether you think these guys are going to recover. If you see, you know, if the struggle will continue, do you see a potential move being made? Or do you think that this is just way too early? It's way too early to panic and just let it all play out, man. So, you know, if we look at, you know, the net rating, right? And what I did is I put all of the information, you know, let me go ahead and put a little banner because I do have a banner here for this. So this is what struggling teams will recover. And what I did here is I focused on the Eastern Conference. Like I said, I have like four teams in the East, five in the West. And the first team that I wanted to kind of point out was the 76ers. But before I do that, you know, I'm going to go ahead and point out here. What you see here is, you know, the 76ers, a lot of information here. But what I wanted to point out, the 76ers are the 15th team in the conference, in the Eastern Conference. Is that what number 15 means? And then you see offensive rating, okay? They're 106.92, and they're the 28th ranked team with respect to offensive rating. Then you have defensive rating, which is 115.59. That means you're the 18th team in the NBA in terms of defensive rating. And then the total net rating is -8.67. That means they're the 27th out of 30 teams in the NBA. That means they're hurting, man. Right? Yeah. So the writing is on the wall that something needs to change here, man. But before I even, just to give you some context, before we get into the Sixers, the top 10 net rated teams, okay, this is usually a good indicator of how good a team really is. The number one team are the Cavs. The Cavs are at 12.25. Number two are the Thunder at 10.55. Number three, the Celtics at 9.56. Number four, the Warriors at 8.54. Number five, the Rockets at 8.28. Number five, man, the Rockets in the NBA. Then you got the Grizzlies. Your Grizzlies, man. I mean, they're at 6.39 at number six. Then you got the Mavs at number seven at 5.42. Then you have the Knicks at number eight at 5.24. Then you have the Magic at 4.37. Then the Clippers at number 10 at 3.34. You can see that most of these are in the West. But the reason I want to bring this up is because I'm going to be showing a lot of this rating information, and I want to give some context. So because all these teams that I've mentioned in the top 10, they're all playoff teams right now, really, right?
And correct me if I'm wrong for myself and for everybody that's watching. Yep. Basically, what the net rating says is, on average, they're – I don't want to say they're losing by 8 points, but they're
– In 100 possessions.
Yeah, in 100 possessions, they're scoring 8 less points than their
correct
than their counterpart on average.
Correct. Yeah. That's correct. Correct. Yeah. In 100 possessions, but they're going to be outscored based on how they're playing, the way they play offensively and defensively. They're going to get outscored roughly about 8.67 points per 100 possessions. Yep. It's an analytics thing, right? But it's a good indicator, right?
Well, I mean, it's an accurate indicator because obviously, if you have a negative in your number, you're a sub 500 team.
Oh, for sure. And there is no team. The only team that was kind of, I think, playing fool's gold, and you pointed it out, was the Suns. Suns were like, you know, maybe the top four team in the West before all these injuries kind of came about, but they were up there. But their net rating was roughly right around like a half, you know? It wasn't like one. It was like less than one. And yet their rating was pretty high. They're ranked pretty high. And then they were kind of – that tells you that they were playing really close games, right?
So yep.
I pointed that out, man. So, but anyway, so let's get to the Sixers, man. I just wanted to kind of lay it all out for the audience as to what they're going to be seeing in the ensuing banners. So the Sixers, man. Okay. You know, let me ask you something. Are they toast? Or are they going to recover? Is this way too early?
So, what are your thoughts? I don't want to speak early.
Okay.
But of all the teams that we're going to talk about today, these are the most – this is the most extreme team that could make – I wouldn't be surprised if they came back and made it in the top four.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed where they're at. Now, there's a couple of factors, right? Number one, Jerry McCain is playing fantastic or has been. So that is – at least if I'm a Sixers fan, that's a super bright spot. Right.
Yep.
And then you got Maxie, the point guard. So you got two solid young pieces there. Right now, whether or not they could carry a team, I'm not sure. Paul George is hurt. He's been hurt twice now in the season.
Right.
So I think he's going to be off and on. If he's in, he's a plus. The wild card is Embiid, though. You know, we talked about this last week. Number one, you know, he's been making comments about when he's not going to play back to back and blah, blah, blah. And he's been going at it with reporters. And, you know, we talked about this mentally. I think he's annoyed, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that he's going to be the biggest wild card here. If he can get himself situated and comfortable, I think that the Sixers will start to rise, you know? And I think that net rating will get into the positives. But if Paul George is hurt, if Embiid is a sourpuss, then no, they're going to stay pretty much where they're at.
All right. So, okay. So let me point out some of their, okay, as far as their starting lineup, okay, right now, George and Embiid are hurt, right? They're,
yep.
No, we don't know when they're coming up. But what the team that they're putting out there right now is Maxey at point guard. And of course, you know, Maxey was hurt. And then Embiid and George were playing. And then when Maxey comes back, both those guys get hurt. They have yet to play all three together yet. Okay. Yep. We're almost 20 games in the season right now, man. Yeah. It's crazy. All right. So you got Maxey as a point guard. You have the shooting guard McCain, who you already brought up as a bright spot. And I agree. He's definitely the odds on favorite right now to be rookie of the year right now. Yes. Of course, it's going to change, right? Yep. It's all about scoring, right?
Which is unfortunate. You know, we're going to have a show about that because
we're going to.
It is entirely too offensively weighted.
It is. It's very much offensively weighted. And we, you know, in our past rookie watches, I talked about the analytics and showing, you know, I showed kind of the side-by-side comparison of the analytics ranking versus the subjective NBA.com rankings, right?
Yep.
And that's all based on. So we'll go ahead and we're going to revisit that on a frequent basis throughout the season. But anyway, so we have McCain as a shooting guard. Then we have Kelly Oubre, who's the starting small forward, who realistically probably shouldn't be a starting post. He's really like more off the bench kind of guy.
He is.
Then you got Caleb Martin, guy from Miami. He's a good player, man.
He's a good player.
He could be a starter. He could be a rotational piece. And then right now you have Andre Drummond as their starter. And sometimes you have this Yabusele guy who comes in. He came from the Boston Celtics. He was drafted by the Celtics, I think. And now he's kind of been wandering around the NBA. But you know, they're forced to play this type of lineup. And you can see why they're hurting right now, man, because a lot of these guys are kind of not really stars, except for maybe Maxey and an emerging star and potentially McCain, right? But all these other guys are more glue guys. They're not really – they're more rotational pieces. And then if you look at the other rotational pieces that they have coming off the bench, you have Reggie Jackson, right? He's been in the NBA for quite some time. You have Eric Gordon, another guy. These are smaller guys, dude. Then you have, you know, either Andre Drummond or Yabusele. That's pretty much it, bro, all right? That is it. So they're very, very top heavy.
Don't forget Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry too. Right. I forgot about it. Thank you very much. Yep. But Eddie, if you look at all this, you know, they're very top heavy, man. They need it. Okay, when you have George and Embiid in the lineup, you have, you know, Maxey, George, Embiid, McCain, Martin. I mean, that's a pretty good starting five right there, right? When you have that all is. Those guys.
But together, then you've right? got a decent bench with Lowry on the bench, Reggie Jackson on the bench. I mean, it's not a great bench, but it's better than like the Denver bench.
Yeah, but the thing is that they have no basis of how this team is really going to function when they're all together, because they don't know where their holes are at right now. They know their holes right now are the main guys are not playing. But once those guys are playing, how are they going to go ahead and come together with these other rotational pieces? This is when the GM is going to decide on whether or not they need to make a move or not. In my opinion, it screams making a move, even if I haven't seen these three players play together yet. To me, I think that they're probably one rotational piece difference maker away to be better, right? But, you know, we have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, but right now that's not a smart move if you have a sub-500 record, right? Like, why would you give something up, you know? So first thing they got to do is start playing like they want to win.
Yeah.
Then you start looking at these pieces and see what's missing and how you fill it. But I agree with you. I mean, you know, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. So you think that they're going to recover?
I'm going to say yes, but to me, recover means at playoff. This point,
yeah, play-in, playoff.
6-10.
Okay. Six through ten. And I tend to agree with you just because they're in such a big hole. The saving grace that they have that they play in the Eastern Conference. They were in the West, they'd be toast.
The record alone would have them.
They would be toast in the West, man. No, right?
And this is the ideal team. Where I can see them being a play-in team at the later stages, and if they get their act together, they're going to be the kind of team that no one wants to play.
No, I agree, because they're top heavy, dude. I mean, those
they'll find their rhythm. They find their rhythm. If they start clicking at the right time, no one's going to want to play them, and they can upset the apple cart.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. All right, man. Let's go on to the next team. All right. So the way I have these ranked is I'm going from worst to least worst. Right. But they're still underperforming or underachieving based on what everybody thought they should be. Where everybody else thought they should be.
So, Eddie, you know, let's do something. As you're going through this, because I don't want to repeat our data, you know, really quick, just on the Philadelphia 76ers, just on injuries, we talked about it already. So, you know, Joel Embiid, Paul George, Kyle Lowry, those are three key pieces that are injured. So I'm not going to go over that again when we get to the injury section. We're kind of embedding that. So I'll kind of embed that as we go.
Yeah, and I would say that those injuries are very, very huge. especially the top two.
Oh, they're make or break for this team.
For sure, dude. I mean, there's a reason why they're struggling is because, I mean, Embiid and George, those two alone would make any team a lot better as long as they're playing, right?
Correct.
So, and both those two happen to be on the same team, and they're both out.
That's well, it's not only their talent, but it's also their paychecks. Their paychecks limit a team, have other resources, so when they're out, it's like a double hit. You lose for the talent, and then you have nothing behind them because you spent all the money to get them.
Yeah. All right, man. So let's go on to the next team, all right? So the next team in the East I have are the number 8 seeded currently Indiana Pacers. You can see that their offensive rating, they're 14th. Defensive rating, they're 23rd. And their net rating, they're 21st. Okay, now this team is way, way underperforming where everybody thought they should be, all right? Now, their injuries are Andrew Nembhard's been out, Ben Shepherd has been out, Aaron Nesmith, all right? Isaiah Jackson and Wiseman, both those guys are out for the season, right?
Those three, Nesmith, Jackson, and Wiseman, is who I had on my list, not so much because of their impact, but because of the minutes that they would use. The distribution of minutes amongst players where you don't have to tax your primetime players 30-plus minutes a game.
Yep. And you know what's interesting is this team has lost 6 of their last 9 games, man. All right?
So they're on a slide.
They are sliding big time, man. And, you know, because of these injuries right now, here's your starting 5. Okay, now they won tonight, okay? And the standings that, you know, we are going to review later does not include tonight's results. But point guard Halliburton, all right. Then you have a shooting guard. You have Quentin Jackson, okay, some guy you've probably never heard of. You have Ben Mathurin, who's coming off the bench usually, but they had to insert him in the starting 5 because of Nesmith being out. Then you have the power forward Pascal Siakam, and then you have center Miles Turner. I mean, it's still a very dangerous 5, but without, you know, with the Quentin Jackson being kind of the unproven guy. We're not saying this guy's not good. You know, he's an unknown right now, right? Then you have rotational pieces. You have TJ McConnell, you have Obi Toppin, Jairus Walker out of Houston, and then you have Johnny Furphy right now, right? Now, you know, if you have Nembhard come back and you have Shepherd, Nesmith, then all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty decent long, you know, deep squad, right? But those guys are nowhere to be seen, and they're digging themselves a hole right now, man. They're number 8. They have a lot of room to recover, but let me ask you something. Do you see these guys? Do you think they're toast or do they recover?
So I'm going to lean towards toast.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, and I'll explain why. You know, it's hard to be a high-powered offense all the time.
Yeah.
It's just hard. Offense doesn't travel. You know, you get tired. What would save them is if they drop that defensive rating. They're currently 23rd. They got to get 15 or better on defensive rating to me for them to start making an impact. And because to me, this seems like the team, like they'll be off this year. And then next year, because they have a short season, they'll come back gangbusters on the offensive side. And then it's kind of one of those where they're, if they stay offensive minded, they're kind of every other year.
I know what you're saying. They're the Run TMC Warriors, man.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And we've seen this show before. And although it's exciting when it's clicking, it's not something you can put in your luggage and take with you.
It's
not sustainable. So to me, what I'd be curious about, so right now I'm going to stay with toast because I don't see anything like defensively changing on the horizon. They'll get some more offense, you know, but I don't see anything particularly changing. But if that defensive rating, if they can get, like I said, to 15th or higher and keep their offensive rating or improve it a little bit more, then we're talking about something. But right now where they're at, I think they're going to stay pretty much. They're going to be about a 500 to 5 under 500.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the ratings will tell you right there. Yeah. I mean, if you have 14, 14, 14, 15, you're going to be right in the middle of the pack. But just to remind everyone, last year, they were the number 2 rated offensive team in the history of the NBA.
Okay? Yes.
In the history of the NBA.
Yep, right? One behind the eventual NBA champions.
Right. And they were the number 1 in the history of the NBA at 11.71 net rating, all right, as far as net rating. But as far as offensive rating, they were number 1 too, Boston Celtics. These guys were number 2. These guys right now at 113.56, they're a far cry. And primarily it's because some of their injuries, right? They sustained a lot of major injuries that disrupted their rotation. So
this is an unfair question, but maybe you know. Because I haven't been watching it like in this way. Have they been playing mostly Western Conference teams or mostly Eastern Conference teams that you know of?
It's pretty divided with mostly Eastern right now.
So if it's mostly Eastern, then this number scares me even more.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Yeah. But I'm just going from the top of my head just by memory. I haven't looked, but I do watch these games regularly, and I'm just trying to I'm trying to remember. But I think it's right now mostly Eastern Conference. Because if you look at the Warriors, they've been playing mostly Western Conference teams.
Yes. Right now.
So I think early part of the season, most teams play within their conference first, and they don't go. Yeah. They don't go outside the conference. They dibble and dabble outside of the conference.
I'm taking a peek right now, Eddie, and it is. And the Eastern and the Western Conference teams that they played is like New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas. Dallas was pretty good at the time they played them. Houston. Because once they go on the Western road trips, you know.
Yeah. I hear you.
To their house.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to the next team, man. We got two more teams in the East before we go to the West. So I have, of course, according from the worst, now getting better. Now the Bucks. Okay, we both have the Bucks as a top four team finishing up at the end of the season, right? And they were struggling mightily, bro.
Yes,
mightily. But what's happened over the course of the last week and a half, right? Now you can see their offensive rating 15th, defensive 17th. Net rating 16. That tells you kind of roughly in the middle of the pack. But But last week and a half, they won six out of the last seven games.
Yes. Okay?
They're coming back. And the thing is that they made some changes to their lineup, right? To get there. They started playing some of the young bucks a little bit more. The only injury that they really have is Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton, correct.
And he's due back soon, man. I don't know exactly, but he's coming back soon.
He's actually already been cleared.
Yep.
And so he's I think he's just working on
his endurance.
His endurance.
Stamina.
Speed and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, get into shape, man. Get into basketball shape, man.
But again, he's one that I would put in that boat. Like, he'll come back, and it wouldn't surprise me if in a month from now he's missing a game here and there and a game, he's just one of those guys that's going to miss games.
He's Kawhi Leonard, man. He's Kawhi Leonard of the East. So, but as far as their rotation, right, this is who they have. They have their starting lineup is Damian Lillard, of course. Then they have the shooting guard, Andre Jackson. Okay, he's been inserted in the starting lineup. He's more of a defensive-minded guy. Got leaps galore, man. Okay, I don't know if you've seen this guy jump, but he's got huge hops, dude. Right? Then you got Taurean Prince. You know, out of Baylor. He's been in the league for quite some time, came from the Lakers most recently. He's now been inserted in the starting lineup as a small forward. And then you have Giannis, of course, and then you have Brook Lopez. And as far as rotation, you have Bobby Portis, who's actually a really good six-man kind of player. Then you have Gary Trent as another forward who came out of the Raptors organization. Yep. Then you have A.J. Green, who's kind of this sharpshooting guy who's kind of younger. And then you have DeLon Wright, who came from most recently the Miami Heat. These guys are essentially down the rotation. But what's interesting is that Pat Connaughton is kind of out of the rotation right now, right? And Marshawn Beauchamp, I think he's another guy that really doesn't get that much playing time. But that's interesting about Connaughton not playing, man.
When they were making their runs, he was a pivotal piece.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, he's a good rotational piece. And he's a smart player. He's been around. He's a Notre Dame guy, right? So, and the guy could have played professional baseball. I don't know if you knew that. He was a pitcher. He could throw like 95, 96 miles an hour. He was like
almost as fast as me.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so let me ask. Okay, do you see these guys continuing their recovery path, or do you see that this is kind of a facade right now?
I think I see them recovering, but I don't know. Let me look at the standings here real quick. Yeah, I see them no higher than
number six. They're number six right now.
The highest they could make, I think, is the fifth seed. And that is dependent on whether or not Philadelphia finds its sea legs.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, the Philadelphia, they have to go on a serious tear to even – I mean, luckily, you know, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks at number six are 8-9, okay? the first, you know, sub-500 team in the West, I think, is like in the 11th or 12th seed, or maybe even later. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, right? It's the 12th seed. The Kings
are
the first under 500 team. Yes.
At the 12th. Okay, and we're talking 12th. About here the 6th, okay?
Yeah, and and in the East, the 10th seed is 4 games under 500.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just going to discrepancy, man. So that's the saving grace for the Bucks is that they play in a weaker conference. And if they were in the West, it'd be done. They'd be done, dude. It's the bottom line. They'd be right there sniffing, you know, the Utah Jazz right around that area, man.
Yeah, I just don't see them going past the Knicks, the Celtics, the Cavaliers, the Magic. I don't see them passing those teams.
Okay, so you say that they're on the rise. But you don't see them getting past where we thought they would. You don't.
Best case scenario for them is 5th seed.
Okay.
And that depends on the Heat, right? Depending on, you know, which Heat we're getting, because last, you know, they've kind of been off more than on. But so to me, like, I would think that they're probably 5th or 6th seed at best. Is what I'm thinking.
All right. So let's go on to the next team, man. All right. I have we're going from the worst to now kind of not so bad, right? Now the Knicks have also made a serious recovery. Now, you can see that their net rating, they're offensively, they're the number 2 offensively rated team in the league. And I don't know if you saw this tonight, but they played Denver in Denver tonight, and they whipped Denver's butt, dude. Jokic was playing, man. They had Jamal Murray. They had Michael Porter Jr. They don't have Aaron Gordon yet. Dude, they were fully, other than Aaron Gordon, they were fully staffed, and they got their butts kicked. They were losing by almost 30 points, man, at one point, right? Jeez. And they were just on. So now something seems to be clicking, because now they won 6 out of their last 9 games, but they did lose to the Jazz most recently, okay? Now, you know, any NBA team can beat any NBA team on any given night, right? Just kind of like any given Sunday for football. But, you know, these guys have definitely risen to the occasion, because – for a while, we were kind of going, whoa, this something's up here, man. Something's wrong with this team. But what's interesting is that they're mostly a defensive-minded team, but their defensive rating is still kind of like in the bottom half of the league.
So to me, Eddie, there's still something wrong with this team. So what I mean by that is if they find a way – because, look, I feel fairly confident in telling you that defensive rating is going to go up. They're gonna lower the number, and they're gonna go higher in the rankings. I think they're gonna finish right around top 10, somewhere in the 12 to 8 range, right?
For defense,
correct. Okay. Somewhere in the 8 to 12 range.
Right.
The question for me is going to be, as that number gets better, will the offense get worse?
Probably. It has to, dude. I mean, there's a lot more energy spent on defense than
exactly. But if they find a way to keep that number. That offensive number relatively close to where it is now and drop that defensive rating. Obviously, everyone's going, well, duh. But what I'm saying is if they improve their defense and keep their offense where there is, look out.
Yeah. I mean, this team is talented, man. I mean, everybody had them picked in the top 4, you know, the top 2 in the East and the top 2 in the West.
Yeah.
They'd be the final 4, right? A lot of people had these guys, including you and I. We both had them up there, right?
And so, Mitchell Robinson has, speaking of injuries, he has yet to play this season. He's back on, you know, so he's going to help.
Yeah, he's coming back, and so is Precious Achiuwa. He's kind of on his way back. Miles McBride was hurt, but he started playing again tonight. So correct. He did play tonight and contributed. But their starting lineup, because of these injuries, have been Brunson, Bridges at small guard, and then you have small forward Anunoby, and then you have power forward Josh Hart, and then you have Karl-Anthony Towns. The interesting thing about this, their starters have played – they play a minimum of 34 minutes a night, bro.
That's too much. Right?
The Tom Thibodeau team, bro. And, you know, with us, with Curry, right now Curry's getting 28 minutes a night, bro.
Yep. And at times, that's too much.
Yeah, I know. So like, right? But their rotation, dude, they have Cameron Payne, right? He's been the journeyman guy, is a guard. Then you have Tyler Kolek, who's the guy who came out of Marquette. They drafted him. Then you have this Pacome Dadiet out of France.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you have Jericho Sims as their center. So you can see that their bench is pretty slim, bro. All right.
Well, like I said, Mitchell Robinson's coming back, so hopefully that'll
alleviate. Precious Achiuwa and Miles McBride, right?
And what I'm curious about is if they plan to play Robinson and Towns together.
That'll be interesting, because that's kind of what Towns was used to when he was playing at the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I think Towns likes being a power forward more than he does being a center.
No, I agree, man. I agree. So let me ask, do you see these guys on the path to recovery? Or
yes. Well, yes, I think they're on the rise.
I agree. I agree too.
I think that I'm going to make a proclamation here.
All right.
Well, let's see how if it plays out. I think that they'll either surpass the Knicks or the Cavaliers in the rankings. They'll end at the two seed.
Yeah, but they're talented as hell, dude.
They are, but they'll end at the two seed. Who's one is up for debate. Whether one is Boston or one is Cleveland, we can have that discussion. But I think they're going to end up in the two.
Oh wow! Okay, interesting. Yeah. All right, interesting. I see these guys. You know, we both picked them. I think in number two, if I remember correctly. I think that they're on the rise for sure. This team is too talented. Yeah, we both have them as a number two seed. By the way, both of us had it. I agree. This is not a facade. They're on the way back, man. So the Knicks are back. All right, let's go to the West, man. So we have the Pelicans again. I'm starting from the worst to the least. But these are all still disappointments, okay?
Yes.
Because they're not where they should be based on where we thought they would be at the very beginning of the season. All right, they're right now the number 15th seeded team in the West. You and I, we had these guys, you know, in the, let me see, we had them in the Pelicans. Where are they? I forgot where we had them. Anyway, here we go. Pelican, I'm at the wrong conference, man. I had them in the number 6 seed, and then you had them at the 7th seed. They are a far cry from that. They're at the 7th, the 15th seed right now. But you can see their offensive rating and their defensive rating, they're at the very, very bottom. And it's understandable. Net rating is at number 29. It's understandable, dude. These guys have been snake bitten by the freaking injury bug like I haven't seen ever, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. They have lost 10 of their last 11 games, okay? They have lost. I mean, Jontae Murray is on his way back, though, okay?
He is coming soon.
You have Zion Williamson. Next
couple of games, from what I hear.
Yeah, it could be any time in the next week. He's coming in. You got Zion Williamson, who's we know he's going to miss games too, right? He's like Kawhi Leonard Jr. Then you have Herb Jones, who's been missing out too, and he's like an all defensive guy in the league. He's been out. Grand Theft Alvarado, he's been out. And then you have C.J. McCollum, who was out, but he just now got back and he started.
Yes, playing. But to me, Eddie, that was the biggest loss.
C.J. McCollum.
Because he's a stabilizing force.
Yeah.
He, you know, and I'm going to say something right now. I know you kind of hinted at trades. If I'm New Orleans, I'm getting the best package I can for Zion.
Yeah, there'd be GMs out there that would work out. So
yeah, I'll find a sucker in Atlanta or Charlotte.
Wherever, dude.
Or somewhere, you know. Sure. And what do you give me for Zion? Because, dude, that Zion's extremely talented. But he just plays so little. You can't build anything around.
Yeah. Availability, right? It's the biggest ability is availability.
That biggest ability is availability. I agree.
And he just doesn't play enough. Man.
If I'm New Orleans, I'm like, who? I'm hearing voices. You know, I'm hearing offers. What are you going to give me for Zion?
What's he going to give me?
And not because I don't like him.
Yeah.
And not because I don't think he's good. It's just because, dude, he's gonna miss 20 to 30 games a year.
Dude, you got this lineup that they've thrown out every night, dude. It's like a freaking who's who in the G League, bro. All right, it's not really that bad, but it's kind of like almost there. But you know, they're also missing Brandon Ingram, right? Brandon Ingram was scratched tonight. He didn't play tonight. But here's their starting lineup: Elfrid Payton. All right, remember Elfrid Payton? He cut his hair down. He doesn't have that freaking weekend do anymore, man. But
yes.
Anyway, he was on the couch maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, man. He wasn't really playing in the NBA,
now
right?
Starting.
So he's starting. Then you got Trey Murphy, who just came back, right? And then you have Javonte Green, who I think played for the Bulls. He's been kind of getting some run. Then you got, of course, Brandon Ingram normally. Then you have Daniel Tice. But as far as the other guys, Robinson Earl, Trey Jameson, Brandon Boston, Antonio Reeves, who they just drafted, and then Hawkins is another guy that they just all these guys are kind of like unknowns, man. So it's no wonder that they're the number 15th seed. But let me ask them: are these guys toast, or do you see
they're toast? They're toast.
You think they're toast?
I think they're toast. I mean, I think they'll have a run maybe here or there, but I think they're toast. They're not. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they dug themselves a big hole, but you know, the Cavalry's coming back, dude. DeJounte Murray's a player, man.
No, I. No, right? I Yeah, but the thing I'm calculating is Zion's going to come in and out of the rotation. They got to get some familiarity with DeJounte, right? Like, all of that's going to take more than the runway that they have now.
Okay.
Because they got to make up lost games. They got to make up Zion popping in and out. DeJounte's got to get familiar. I think they're toast.
I think that they have something in there. I think they're going to be a play-in team. I think they're still going to be a play-in team.
All right.
I think they have too much talent once everybody's back. I mean,
I hope you're right. I hope I want them to, do well. I think there's a lot of good players on there, but there's a lot to overcome, Eddie.
I hear you. But, dude, if you have DeJounte Murray, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, right? Then you have, I guess this newly acquired Yves Missy, who's now their center. I mean, that's not a bad squad. No,
it's not, but they got to familiarize themselves. Zion's going to be coming in and out of the lineup. Like, that's the things that I've got to, like DeJounte hasn't played, hardly any, if any, just preseason maybe.
He hasn't played at all. I think he's only played preseason, and that's when he got hurt. So that's it. Yeah. So I'm saying they're going to be a playing team, right?
Plus, furthermore, DeJounte's got to come back from his injury, too.
Yeah.
I know,
like fractured hand, I think it was.
Yeah, so, how long is that going to take?
Yeah, but he's ramping up, man. He's about to come in anytime. Right. It could be next week, man.
I'm saying even when he's back, he's got to start trusting his hand again and do all that.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. I get you, man. I get you. All right, man. So let's go on to the next team, the Kings. Okay. Now, dude, they are a disappointment right now, man.
This is a quandary, bro. The Kings are the equivalent to the Niners. What? Why? Oh. How? You guys should be way better than this.
Way better than this.
But, and they have no excuse for not being.
But remember we were talking about the ratings right in the middle of the road. They're in the middle of the road for everything. But they're in the top half of the league as far as all of the ratings. Okay, they're at 11th for offense, 14th defense, and 13th for net. Okay, now they have lost 5 of their last 7 games. And I think that they were playing tonight. And I think, I don't know if they, if they won or not. They were, they lost. They got killed by the Thunder. Okay. Thunder came to the Sacramento Kings and just blew them out. And by the way, the Nets beat the Warriors, by the way, just to let you know.
Oh, that's, God.
Can you imagine that, dude? The Nets beat the Warriors.
No, I can't. I guess I won't be watching that now.
No, I'm going to watch it, but I just have to look at the score right now. I'm still going to watch it because I want to see how they lost. But anyway, the Kings, dude, all right, they've lost 5 out of the last 7. Their injuries, Malik Monk, okay? He's been out, but he just came back tonight. This was his first game. And another guy has made
some jokes. He was only out a couple of games. It's not his first game of the season.
No, he's been out, though, recently. Their injury list has been pretty slim. There hasn't been many that have been out. But their starting lineup is Fox, Herder, Murray, then they have DeRozan and Sabonis. And DeRozan is a guy that they brought in as a free agent that was supposed to be a difference maker. And, it hasn't been translating yet, right? No,
they haven't been clicking. I thought they'd be significant. I believe I had them ranked better than the Warriors this year.
You did. You did. Yeah. I think you like one ahead of the Warriors. So their rotation pieces are Keon Ellis, Trey Lyles, Dylan McDermott is the actor. Alex Len, and then McLaughlin. Came from the
Dylan McDermott, Young Guns, right? Regulators,
something like that. I don't know. He's one of those guys. But anyway, Regulators. But anyway, so let me ask you: Do you see these guys, given where they're at, and given they haven't really faced too much injury? They just had a few infusion of a couple new players and new rotational pieces. Do you see these guys, kind of on the rise, or is kind of
honestly, sleepy? Eddie, I don't know, but I don't see a reason why they should be here. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that whatever's ailing them, they're going to figure. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know why they're not winning, or not winning at a much better rate. Yeah, so I'm going to say yes, they're going to improve, but I really don't have a feel for this.
So do you see them being in the top 6?
No.
Okay. I don't either. Not right now.
No.
They have the ability to do that. I mean, dude, Sabonis, all-star. Fox, all-star. DeRozan, all-star. Keegan Murray, he's the guy who's been kind of hit and miss, honestly. Yep. He's supposed to be their outside threat, and he hasn't really shown that he's consistent yet. So
Malik Monk, solid piece.
Solid piece, man. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. They have, solid players. So that's what I'm saying. Something doesn't smell right. Something's off, man.
I agree, but I don't know. I don't have a feel for what it could be.
And that's yeah, I don't,
So my guess is they'll figure it out, and then away they go. But I can't. I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed here or they jumped up to a four seed.
Yeah. Right. All right, man. So let's go on to the next team, man. We got two more teams after this. So right. The Wolves, right? Yeah. The Wolves are the 11th seed right now. All right. These guys are a huge disappointment. You can see their offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating is kind of similar to where the Kings were. They're kind of middle of the road. All right. They've lost 5 of their last 7 games, dude. And recently to the Toronto Raptors, who are probably one of the worst teams in the NBA right now. The only real injuries that they've had, and none of them have been major, has been Mike Conley and Jingles, Joe Ingles. They're the only real two, yeah. Right? And because of Mike Conley being out, they had to start, you know, Dante DiVincenzo at point guard. Then you have shooting guard Edwards. You know, he's kind of all world. But, you know, Jaden McDaniels, he's a very good defensive player. Then you have Julius Randle. Okay, the newly acquired Julius Randle, you know, for Karl Anthony Towns. And then Rudy Gobert, who's the center. Then you have rotation pieces, Naz Reid. And then you have Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And recently, they have started to play Rob Dillingham, dude.
Yeah.
About freaking time, dude. About
time, yeah. Dude, I agree. What is
up, man? I mean, seriously, if you're struggling, play some of these young guys. Terrence Shannon has yet to play, really.
And he should play. He should have some minutes.
Dude, why not? I mean, look at what the Bucks did, right? They started throwing in some of these young guns to kind of just show the veterans, hey, man, this is how you play hard, man. We need this again, right?
Yeah.
Bring up your energy, right? And this is what these young guys do. They want to play, man. So they're a team that are very. I mean, most of us picked. After last year, most of us picked them. Most anybody would pick them easily in the top three.
Oh, easily.
Easily, but right?
But as I've mentioned in previous weeks, there's a Julius Randle effect happening here.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, the Julius Randle, I mean, it's a big – anytime you get a big man who's a scoring big man, you know, and that's kind of the case with the Karl Anthony Towns and the Julius Randle, there's always an adjustment period because it changes the offensive flow of what it was prior to those guys' arrival. And you're seeing that right now, bro, big time.
Anthony Edwards is shooting more three-pointers this season than he has in any season before. I mean, he's like – now, some people think, oh, he's doing that because he wants to add it to his game. The question I have is he doing that because the lane is clogged?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you need Anthony Edwards to be both an inside and an outside guy to keep the defense on their toes. I think if he becomes one-dimensional, that hurts that team's offense.
No, I know, and that's kind of what he is right now, man. And but they just don't – they don't have the same effort like they did last year.
No,
I don't know what it is, if it got in their heads.
Right now you'd have to say it's Karl Anthony Towns, him being gone.
It has to be. I mean, that swap – I mean, because Dante DiVincenzo fits like a glove in this team, man.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
That move –
But he doesn't fill the hole that Towns filled, right?
No.
He does fit like a glove, but he doesn't fill that hole.
Yeah, I know, but Julius Randle is a talented offensive player. It's just he's a different player. He doesn't have the same outside shot like Karl Anthony Towns. Right now, Karl Anthony Towns is balling in the Knicks.
Well, but correct me if I'm wrong, Eddie. And again, I don't want to give a stigma to somebody. Didn't the Knicks last year start to take off when Julius Randle got hurt?
Yeah.
There's something about him that messes with the offense.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, but that's a good observation. I didn't think about that. Yeah, but I don't know, man. Something's up there. I see these guys climbing. I just don't see them being a top
14
like we thought.
They're probably in the 5th, 6th seed. Somewhere.
Yeah, that's kind of where I think they're going to fall.
Yeah.
I think they need to make a move, man, honestly, to get back to where they're at. And I don't know what that move is. Maybe, I don't know, their defense has suffered. Look, they were the number one ranked defensive team last year. All right. They're a far cry from that. Not even close.
No, it's not.
It because of Karl Anthony Towns?
Well, Karl Anthony Towns isn't even a defensive piece.
Dude, is it because of Kyle Anderson? Is it because of, you know? I mean, who is it, man? Is it Monty Morris? He's gone. You have McLaughlin, who plays for the Sacramento Kings. He's gone. He already played. So what happened? Anyway, man. We don't know.
Well, slow-mo is a good observation on your part, Eddie, because I think he's a good locker room guy. He's a good glue guy.
He's
good, you know, kind of those intangible things. You know, he's good at that. And I don't think it's like he's the reason, but he's a little piece of the reason.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. But they're a disappointment, and I'm sure the Wolves fans out there that are listening to this, it's just rubbing it salt in their wounds.
Right yeah, now. Well,
you know, so
like I said, I think if they can figure it out, you know, maybe they can trade Julius Randle for Zion, and that way, you know, they're
yeah, but Zion Williams doesn't solve their problems either. That's the problem, man. You know, they should probably just, I don't know who they need, man. We have to think loud. We have to think about this one, but there's definitely a, you know, let me ask you something. Would you want him on the Warriors?
Julius Randle or Zion?
Yeah, Julius Randle.
No. No.
You want Zion on the Warriors.
Well, no, even him, no, because, like, no. I mean, it's just you need a player that's available. You just do, and he has no history of that. You know, I mean, you know, like look at D'Anthony Melton, right? Like, he has a history of being hurt.
Yeah.
We get him. We're, like, excited. And
then he gets hurt. Oof.
I mean, and he's not a big piece, right? But he was a crucial piece.
He was. Okay. He was a very good piece. I mean, that guy would have been perfect. I mean, dude, isn't it interesting? Ever since he's now gone, they've lost recently, dude.
Well, they put Lindsey in the starting lineup.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm not pinning it on him.
Lindsey Waters.
Lindsey Waters. Yeah, but he's a different type of player. And Melton filled. You know, Melton had a little of GP2. To him, he had a little bit of DiVincenzo to him. He had a little bit of, he could run the point. You know, he was a valuable piece.
Yeah.
And maybe, I think maybe they're right now, the Warriors are struggling to see who they put in the starting lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, bro. All right. Well, I hear you, man. These guys, like I said, I think they're going to be probably like a top 16. All right, man.
Be interested is if Randle gets hurt, what happens to their numbers?
We shall see.
And I'm not hoping. I'm not hoping.
No, but it's an interesting data point, right?
Just a data point. If that happens, I'd be curious what comes of it.
All right, man. So let's go to the last two teams, and then we'll go to your segment on the injuries. I think.
Oh, no. I mean, we're going through it now.
Okay, we're going. We don't have to. We'll just pass all that, man. All right.
Because, I mean, we're talking through it now.
We're doing as we're talking through it. All right. So, okay. Now we got the Mavs, right?
Yes.
They are the next number nine. They're the number nine rated, number nine seeded team right now in the West. They are offensively rated. They're very good. Defensive rated. They're top 10. Net, they're at 7, right? So what the heck is going on with these guys, man? So, you know, they have lost 5 of their last 9 games, man. Let me ask you something. The only real injury that they've sustained recently is Luka Doncic. And then Dante Exum, who's been out too. But
Just killing my MVP.
That's who you picked. Who you picked, and I picked Tatum. Let me ask him: do you think that these guys will recover, or do you think that what you're seeing is what you're going to get?
Well, this is another offensively strong team, but they have more talent than the Pacers, meaning they have more consistent scores. Kyrie can score, Luka can score. We'll leave Klay out of it because Klay, I think, is going through a midlife crisis right now, but. Those two guys are a little more consistent. I think they're just going to have a down year. You know, I don't think it's like raise the alarm, change things around.
Right.
I just think they're going to have a down year. They went all the way to the finals last year. I think.
Yeah, and that taxes
you. They're a little tired. They're worn down.
You see that. I mean, you know, the Warriors make 5 straight finals, man. It's like playing a whole another season, right?
Exactly. It does wear
on you eventually.
Yeah, it just wears on you. And Kyrie's a little older, and Luka's still, he's relatively young still, even though he's played a lot of professional games. But I believe in Europe, you play like once a week, kind of. It's like football in Europe. It's not like here. And so I don't know if he's still acclimating to that. And with the postseason, it's just going too far. And then Klay, I think Klay's being forced to accept what he is, not what he thinks he is.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a good call, dude. Yeah. That's a good call. Yeah, his ego is having a hard time swallowing what's going on.
It is.
Yeah.
And I admire him for that. You know me. I'm the biggest Klay fan in the world.
But I still like him, dude.
He's it's going away little by little. And at some point, he's going to have to come to that realization.
Yeah, I think the sooner that he realizes, I think he'll be happier, dude, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So he just got to accept his new role, and that's it. So, okay. So as far as
– I think one thing that I was observing was – I noticed, obviously these ratings are for all 30 teams, but the Western teams look to be a higher than 500, but yet have a closer to 500 record because it's offset by all the weakness
in the East.
Yeah.
Yes.
So even though these numbers are, I think every time I see a Western conference, there's like a, 2 to 3 point buffer that I would say that, you know, if you're actually comparing them in the West, they're probably, like, I would say maybe they're closer to 10th in the West than they are to 7th. If you're just doing it just in the West.
So you know, remember that I read off the top 10 net ratings?
Yeah.
Six of those teams out of the 10 are from the West.
Yes.
Okay. The only teams in the East are the Cavs, the Knicks, the Magic, and the Celtics.
Correct.
Right? Those are the only ones, right?
And, so the ratings, and of all those teams, they're higher than the Mavs. So that's what I'm saying. You have an offset of about 3 because of all the weakness in the East.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So these guys are throwing out a starting lineup of, you know, Kyrie Irving right now because Doncic is out. Then you have Thompson as the shooting guard. You have Quentin Grimes, who's kind of a rotational defensive piece, but he's now being put in the starting lineup.
He's been playing well.
Yeah, he has been playing well. PJ Washington, Derek Lively, that rounds out the starting five. Then you have Najee Marshall, who's been playing very well for this team. You know, Daniel Gafford, who's been, you know, a good centerpiece for them.
Gafford was the starter last year, right? Didn't that?
Yeah. But now Lively's now taking over as a starter. So, and then you have Spencer Dinwiddie, and then Maxi Kleber. So it's a pretty decent, you know, rotation, you know, but they need Doncic. Without Doncic, this team is not going to be that good.
They do.
They're going to be decent. They're just not going to be a difference making
team. If I'm not mistaken, they beat Denver in Denver without Doncic.
Well, hey.
I think so. I don't think Doncic was playing that game. So,
okay. All right. Hey, so, they have the talent, man.
I think that's more of a knock on Denver than it is a compliment to Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, Denver's just shallow, dude. They don't have that much depth, man, at all, dude. I mean, we saw that early on that they were going to, and of course, they lost their draft pick. I think it was Dayron Holmes, I think, you know, that he ruptured his Achilles
in the preseason.
And that sucks, man. I mean, you know, that's three.
It's just size, right? It's just, I mean, they have a lot of size, but, you know, can't ever hurt to have more size.
No, I know. I hear you, man.
Yeah.
All right, bro. This is the last team, and then we're going to go on to their next segment, right? So we have the Suns, all right? They're the number 8 team. The offensive rating, you can see they're top 10. Defensive rating, they're 22. Net rating at 19. Now, remember, before all of this started happening and unraveling, they were a net rating team, like right in the middle, like 0.5, right? A little bit above 1. Okay, a little bit above 0, not essentially 1, but, you know, they've lost 5 of their last 7 games. All right, they have, you know, injuries. Okay, we have Durant, but he's coming back tomorrow, supposedly.
He is, and you have Beal's been out a couple of games,
but he's supposed to be coming back tomorrow as well. Yep. Okay, so now, you know, tomorrow they should have their full starting five, and that would be, you know, Tyus Jones, Booker, Durant, Beal. And then you have Nurkic, right? That would be the starting five. It's a pretty formidable starting five. Then you have Grayson Allen coming off the bench, Royce O'Neal coming off the bench, Mason Plumlee, Ryan Dunn, Monty Morris, Oso Iguodaro. I mean, it's not as shallow as you think, man. I mean, this could be a blessing in disguise where these guys were hurt early on and some of these other guys kind of sort of getting their run and kind of getting their confidence. You just never know, man. I personally think this team is a lot better than where they're at. And I see, you know, I had them as, you know, top 3, I think, in our little contest. I see these guys recovering. I think, you know, Durant's a big difference maker. As long as he doesn't miss any more significant games, along with Bradley Beal, I see these guys making a recovery. What do you say, man? What do you think?
Well, so I'm going to disagree with you a little bit.
All right.
Number one, when they had all of their players, they were barely squeaking out games. Right? The stats showed that they were 0.5, you said, which means they were barely winning.
A lot of
close games. And that's when they had everybody.
Yep.
Then they lost Durant, and rightfully so, they dropped. Now Durant will come back, and they'll fight a little to get back to the middle. And then Durant's going to miss more time. It's just going to be seesawing back and forth, in my opinion. You know, they're just going to get a little bit better and then come down. Get a little bit better and then come down. And then similar to the Philadelphia in the East, they're – if they time it right, they'll be a team no one wants to face in the postseason.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it has to happen soon, man, because they're running out of time, dude, right? For sure.
Yeah. But my guess is, you know, I had them at 5th. You had them a little higher.
I had them at number 3 or 4, right around there.
Yeah, I think realistically they're going to be 7, 8.
Yeah, I had them at 3.
Or in that range.
I had them at 3. You had them at 5.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be 7 or 8.
Okay. Interesting. I still think they're going to be easily a top 5 or 16 easy.
Okay.
That's my call.
Okay.
All right, man. So, all right, man, that there you have it. We just covered all the struggling teams, and we kind of gave our thoughts as to whether or not these teams were going to recover or if they were going to stay pretty much the same. You know, they are who we thought they were kind of thing. We shall see, man. But all right, let's go on. We already talked about the injuries. We're going to, as we intertwined it with this, let's go on to the NBA Cup, man. So, you'll bring it up. And then we'll go through each of the groupings. You know, I think this coming week is the last games for group play. Okay. So this week is the last week for group play. And then we're now in group A. And in group A, we both picked the Knicks. And we're looking pretty good because the Knicks just blew out the freaking Denver Nuggets. And they're going to be rolling in strong coming in next week. Because I think every team plays four games. And then, you know, two at home, two on the road. And like I said, this coming week, I think, is the end of the group play. And then we're going to see who's going to come out. So I think we're sitting pretty for the Knicks. The Orlando Magic is the only one that can trump it. But, you know, these other teams.
Do you remember if I picked Orlando as my wild card? I picked Miami Heat, right, as my wild card for the East.
You picked the wild card. You picked the Heat. And I picked the Bucks. Okay. So, all right. So we're sitting right now. It looks like the Knicks are probably going to win it. Let's go to Group B, man.
Yep. Okay.
Group B, you know, you had the Pacers.
Look.
Oh, they're hurting, bro.
Yeah, they're done. I mean,
they're done. They're not going
to
even.
I mean, they're technically not eliminated, but they're going to have to win.
The next two games,
and probably they need by 20 points each.
And they need the top two teams, being the Pistons and the Bucks, to lose two games. They're hurting. Miami Heat, I have them too, so they're not like sitting pretty either, man. I mean, I think neither one of us are going to get points here. But the thing is that I have the Bucks coming out as, you know, the wild card now. If they go into the playoffs and they're not necessarily the wild card, you know, we haven't come up with a point system on that. We have to figure that out, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I did. Yeah. I just really quick, I did catch the Detroit Charlotte game. You know, they were playing one night, and I'm watching them. Eddie, yuck, yuck.
Detroit.
Just the game, yuck. Oh. I was like, oh man, sorry, yeah. Pistons and Hornets fans. I don't mean to degrade your teams, but it was like yuck.
So, okay, so out of this, okay, so who do you – I say probably Milwaukee's in the driver's seat right now to take this group right now. I mean
– Well, I mean, they have, you know, a 22-point differential advantage.
For
sure. So if they end up tied, they haven't played Detroit, so they'll play Detroit in the fourth game. It'll be interesting because basically if they both win or both lose their next game, then it'll be down to that game four where they play each other to win the cup.
Right.
And at that stage, I would give the edge to Milwaukee. So I think Milwaukee's in the driver's seat.
I think so too, man. All right, man. So, all right, let's go to group C. Now, we both deviated here as well. You picked the Cavs. I picked the Celtics, right?
You're looking a little better than me. Right. Although now, Cavs have a game to play still.
Yeah, the Cavs have to play. They play Atlanta, and that's an easier team that they should be able to beat. And they play Washington, you know, who's not that strong as well. And then the Celtics look like they have to play the Bulls. Next, that's the last game, but they should be able to beat each of those teams. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be between Boston and Cleveland. So it's
Boston has the head-to-head, right? Because Boston beat Cleveland.
Yep.
In the game, so right now Boston pretty much has a three-game advantage right now.
It looks pretty good, man. So
yeah, I think it's going to be Boston 1, Cleveland 2. So you'll get that one.
All right.
I think I'm assuming. Oh, I took the Heat. Man, I left Boston completely out of the mix. All right, shame on me.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have the Bucks as a coming out of the wild card. You have the Heat coming out as a wild card. And by the way, we haven't come up with a point system. Probably the point system that makes sense is probably 2 points if you get it right for that group. And then if they make the playoffs as a wild card but you didn't pick them, we'll just assign a point. But if you get it right, you get 2 points, right?
Okay.
We'll just
make it like Sounds that. Good. Sounds good.
So then we'll figure that. And then you know, when we get to the elimination, we'll come up with our own little contest on that too. All right, so let's go to the West, man. So we both are sitting pretty because we both picked the Rockets, and it looks like the Rockets are sitting pretty. They have to play Minnesota. They have to play Sacramento. Both those teams are pretty tough.
Look at that point differential, Eddie.
Yeah, I know. Holy That's crazy, crap. Dude. I know.
They're not
I know.
Really winning. They're destroying.
Dude, this team is legit, dude. Legit. Okay. They are scary. And they're young and they're hungry, man. That's what's scary about them. All right. All right, so we're good on that as far as group A. So group B, this is the one where we're going to be interesting. So you have the Lakers, I have the Thunder. All right, correct. So right now, it looks like the Lakers and Thunder are going to play in game four. So this coming week looks like it's going to be the deciding. But the Lakers are going to play Phoenix, and the Suns are going to be – it's tomorrow. Actually, no, it's not tomorrow. It's going to be on Tuesday. So Tuesday is the game. Yeah, it is tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Shoot.
Tomorrow is Tuesday.
Tomorrow is when Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal come back for that game. So yep. It's going to be interesting. We shall see what happens there, man. But there's some points to be made here. I think that was a pretty gutsy call that you picked the Lakers, man. Honestly.
Yeah.
But – you know, you're looking pretty good because they're at the top right
well,
now.
Well, and I picked the Lakers, and then I picked the Thunder as my wild card team, if I'm not mistaken.
You did. Picked the Thunder. Yeah. I picked the Suns as the wild card.
So the only one that can upset me now is the Spurs, which they're my comment about them being a team to watch out for has bit me because they beat the Warriors, and I wasn't too happy about that.
I know.
And, you know, but like you got that's another team. I mean, they're not there yet, but. Their goal right now is to make the play-in tournament. If they can make the play-in tournament, that's a good year for the Spurs.
Yeah, and dude, I mean, they're playing well. I mean,
they just beat
the Warriors. And I don't know what this means now. The Warriors have lost two games in a row. This is the first time this happened, right? They've lost to the Spurs, and then they lost now just recently to the Nets.
Well, and to two teams that they were favored in.
They were favored in, yeah.
Yeah.
And they barely beat the Pelicans, and the Pelicans are nobody, right? Yeah. So yep. something's going on here. They got to figure this out.
Well,
man,
like you pointed out, they lost the Anthony Melton. Some of that's settling. You know, I don't know. You know, obviously there's been talk here locally about Kuminga and what they're going to do with him. And, you know, there's stuff around that. You know,
a little chirping going on.
Of the team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a little chirping going on. All right. So now we go to the last group, and that's the group C. So it looks like the Warriors are pretty much going to have this one.
No, they're locked. They clinched it.
Yeah, they clinched it. All right, so it's a done deal.
So that's a done deal.
So we both got that one right. So we got 2 points for that. So the only real difference is going to be the wild card, and then once we'll find out by the end of the week, and then we'll come up with points. And then once the elimination round happens, we'll go ahead and come up with our own brackets for that too.
Yep. We'll do that.
All right, man.
That sounds good.
Cool. All right, man. So let's go to the last segment, man. This is our rookie and conference.
Oh, that's right.
Let me go ahead. All right, so let's. So this is again. These are teams that we both selected before the season, and these are rookies. And this is the game that, you know, Twan and I did to compete against each other, and we thought it'd be a good thing maybe for you guys out there to kind of come up with your own little, you know, game against some of your friends, and maybe you pick, you know, a couple of rookies to compete on a weekly basis to see how they do against your team, right? So anyway. Yeah, exactly. So what you can see here is that my team is at the top, and then the Twan's team is right below it. And you can see that the totals that you can see, I didn't have that shown last week. What we have are the totals for each of the teams. Now, which players are having the biggest impact? And right now on my team, Alex Sarr right now is the biggest contributor on my team. And then on your team, you have Reese Archer. Okay.
Correct.
Archer. And that's interesting. They're the top two picks of this last draft. Reese Archer being number one, Sarr being number two. Right.
Yep.
But what's happened here is that you've made up some ground. Okay. You have come back from you were down by a huge deficit, right? Like almost
500 plus points.
But what's happened, bro, is that, okay, you needed what happened here to happen, and that is Zach Edey got hurt, okay? And he hasn't played in the last three games.
That's a good point.
That hurts me big time because look at that. With those three games that he has missed, he is still very close to being my top point getter on my team. Castle being probably the number two, but he'd be easily the top point getter. But this is what you needed. And then what's also happens, you know, Cody Williams has fallen off big time, right?
Yeah. Then Filipowski's hurt as well. So
he just got hurt. So that's why you got a zero on game number 16 is because of that. But you can see like in game number 15, you came back. Game number 14, you took a lead. You have 118.8 points versus 86.5 in game 14. And then in game 15, you also made up ground there as well. So in this game right here, coming up in game 16, depending on what Sarr does, we're going to be pretty even, right? It's getting closer and closer, man, right?
It is. Yeah. And Bustelis, for me, started off, if you scroll here.
Yeah.
He was doing very little.
Yeah, very little.
He was doing very little. And now Bustelis is, you know,
he's starting to contribute.
19 points, 20 points.
He's starting to contribute, and right now he is your lowest point getter on your team. But he's starting to make up ground. But Reed Shepard's starting to get some playing time now too. So it's going to be interesting. Dalton Knecht is the guy who's definitely emerged on your team.
Yeah, he was the one that blew up in the middle here. Hopefully, he can keep it up. But we'll see.
Yeah, Yeah. For sure, man. All right, man.
So this is fun. Like I said, I like this. This is fun.
Right on, man. So let's go to the standings, man. Let's go to the right. Let me go ahead and probably get rid of. Let me get rid of this. All right. Actually, no, that doesn't really. Yeah. So you can see right here. What we did is, if you look at the columns, I've already gone through this before, but the West is kind of in orange and the East is kind of in blue. And then you have Tuan's rankings going before mine on each of these conferences.
Well, this is funny. We're tied.
We are tied total. And you can't see it, but you can see right now. Yeah, there we go. 42-42. So you can see that the way that our point system is, and I have it kind of listed here, is that we have 5 points if you get the seeding correct. And then you get 3 points if you're only one off in either direction. Yep. And then 2 points if you're two off in either direction. And then I just go ahead and tally it all up. And you can see that you're ahead of me by 1 point in the West.
And
I'm ahead by 1 point in the East.
But our predictions in the East are closer.
Yes.
We're more off in the West than we are in the East.
Now, if we were to like nail this, man, we would have 75 points for each conference.
Yeah.
If we were to nail it, okay? Now, that would be 5 points across the board if we got each seeding correct. You can see that we are far from perfection right here in the West. We're a little bit closer in the East, but we're far from it, man. This is going to be changing on a week-to-week basis. But, you know, things are starting to settle out right now, bro. And you're going to start seeing little deviations from here on out. So, but that's it, man. This is the standings of where we're at right now. We're going to go ahead and review this every week. Yep. And this pretty much is our show. We just wanted to go ahead and kind of go over some of the struggling teams that we thought, you know, could potentially make a comeback, or, you know, are they going to continue the way that they are? We had arguments for both the Eastern Conference teams. We picked about four teams in the West. We had five teams that we went over. And then we kind of dibble and dabble on the injury, you know, kind of the impact of some of these teams that have been snake bitten, like the Pelicans, big time.
Yes, Pelicans are probably the most
snake bitten. The worst. They've probably missed the most games.
They're the ones in the West, and then in the East, I got to say it's the Sixers.
For sure. Yeah. For sure, man. For sure. Yeah. The Sixers and the Pelicans. And you can see these injuries make a difference, right? If you're one of your star players gets impacted, you're done, man. Your season is pretty much toast.
And one thing to note on the injuries is Porzingis is due back.
He played tonight. He played tonight. He started tonight. Yeah, okay. He played tonight. But Hartenstein came back too, by the way.
Yes.
He played tonight too.
Thank you.
Yeah. So maybe
the loss of Chet Holmgren will be less felt now.
Yeah, for sure. And they just blew out the Kings big time on the road, right? They just came out, you know, and they just blew the Kings out. But anyway, so then we dovetailed into the United, the Emirates NBA Cup. And then we talked about, you know, how we're going on that, and we're going to come up with a point total and see how we're doing on that. And then the final one is just the rookie and conference seedings contest that Twan and I came up with. It's a good little idea for you guys to kind of compete with each other for the remainder of the year as well, man. It's fun, you know, and I'll go over probably the next show, kind of the point system. So you can kind of see how I calculated all of this. So you can kind of see it. So then you can kind of do it on your own at home and do it with your friends and family. So, but anyway, that essentially marks the end of our show. This is Anthony Twan Corral. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Buzzer Beaters. You can find Buzzer Beaters on any podcast outlet, but primarily you can find us on gremlingsmedia.com, but you can find us on Pandora, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Facebook, X, pretty much any outlet you can
you name
find
it.
Podcast. And what was that last one?
Said you name it.
You name it. Yep. You can find us. Just remember to call out gremlingsmedia.com. on any of these platforms like Rumble and YouTube. So, but anyway, this marks the end of our show. We want to wish all of you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. Remember that go to the gym the following week or do some kind of form of exercise, because you're going to need it from all that eating that most of us are going to be doing here in the United States. But
not if you're a vegetarian like your brother-in-law, Mike, you ain't, no protein in there. All carbs and leafy greens.
Exactly, man. But anyway, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and we'll see you again next week, next Wednesday. Be here. We're going to be here live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific here on Wednesday, December 4th, and we're going to continue our NBA coverage. Yes. Anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters, and happy Thanksgiving, and we are signing off.